own profit motive, but not to interfere with anyone else's profit motive. Now, that's simple enough. That doesn't involve any highfalutin definitions. We don't have to get into any complications on that. We just simply say, as long as you're not interfering with somebody else's life or property or profit motive or whatever, then everything is all right. But why not interfere with somebody else's profit motive? That's what most everybody wants to do. If you got all the people together who don't want to interfere with anybody else's profit motive, it would probably fill a room about this size at the most, and perhaps no more. And then you would still be faced with the fact that all those guys out in the parking lot and all the ones at the Elks meeting downstairs and in the Francis X. Bushman tonight and staying in the hotel and so forth, out of all of those, I'm only assuming, but I would guess that at least 90% of them have it as their fervent desire to interfere with the profit motives of others, to cause other people to do what they would not otherwise want to do. In other words, to coerce them, if necessary, in order to bring them in line with what they think is good for society, meaning what is necessary to put society in the kind of shape that will be good for me. Well, they can't do that. It just isn't right for them to go around interfering with profit motives. Why not? Well, it's not moral. Well, by whose concept of morality? By whose standards? By whose reasoning, starting at zero, and with no preconceived assumptions, as every individual does start, by whose reasoning have you come to the conclusion that this is the only moral way? By objective, absolute, total, certain moral law? As defined by whom? As who perceived it out there among all the things? And so what? Now, rest assured again that I'm not telling you to stop trying to perceive reality. I'm simply suggesting once again that as you perceive reality, recognize that you are perceiving it for yourself and that you will act upon it to the best of your understanding and knowledge because you have to, because you want to act and you want to get the consequences that you want, and that's going to depend upon how closely you are in tune with reality. So it's necessary that you perceive it as closely as possible. But taking yourself too seriously, as I mentioned before, merely means assuming that everybody else is going to accept your conclusions about the way you have perceived reality. In other words, roll over and play dead for you because you have decided that you have viewed reality in a certain way. All right? We don't need to go back and rehash the subject of subjective perception. Let's assume merely that we somehow come to some agreement here in this room about the nature of what a free society ought to be, and we're convinced we're right, whatever that means, because we're talking about something greater than ourselves as individuals, but at any rate, that a society in which life and property are respected is good, and that this is what we want to bring about. Okay, we'll go forward from that assumption then. Now, how are we going to get it? In the first place, there is somebody somewhere in Washington who is at the head of those 2 million bureaucrats who doesn't like the idea, and I don't think any of the other 2 million do either. I think that most all of the other people who aren't a part of them or a part of us will side with them. I think that we have quite a tremendous set of odds against us in trying to bring this about, even assuming we can agree on what it is we want. Well, there's only two methods in general that we have to go about it. Number one is education, and the number two is power. Education would mean convincing enough people that they ought to go along with us on this, and thereby setting up the conditions in which they would be compatible with what we're trying to do, whether they would be a part of it or not. So at least they would not resist. I'm forced to come to the conclusion, forced meaning that my mind has made physical contact with me and convinced me that trying to convince all of these people is no different than trying to get Max Rafferty elected state superintendent of schools and then expecting Rafferty to do what I want him to do. You just can't keep them in line. You get them convinced one day on one thing, and tomorrow they're off on another thing that you forgot to cover when you were educating them. Because these people are profit-seeking, happiness-seeking, curious individuals like yourself who are going to go out and explore the world for themselves. And you cannot assume that just because they have agreed with you on some part of it, that the whole thing is now cut and dry, that they're willing to do whatever you say from here on in. They will be educated to a certain extent by you as they have looked at some of the alternatives that you have to offer and say, yes, I'll choose this one and this one. But that isn't the end of their education. It isn't the end of their exposure to the world. And if you say, well, we need 1 million people, or let's say we only need 10,000, by the time we get 6,000, the first 1,000 will already have been off somewhere else running around setting up some other kind of society that is totally opposite of what we had in mind in the first place, and we've got to go back and re-educate them. The whole, all the problems are...